Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's jump right into it here, and then we'll take your phone calls and more. I've got some big Montana news to share as well right after the first break here. But here we go. The legislative update from Jeff Laslaffy with the Montana Family Foundation.
Just as geese head south for the winter and wildebeest cross the Great Plains of Africa, the Great Montana Migration has begun. But in this case, we're not talking about animals. Every 2 years, when the holidays are over and the new year begins, it signals the great migration of ordinary Montanans from across the state to the capital in Helena. In this case, we're talking about the 2025 legislative session, which begins at noon on Monday. We use the migration analogy because Montana differs from many other states in that we still have a true citizen legislature. In some states, their legislators hardly take a break. These are the professional politicians. They have private offices, permanent staff, and their legislative sessions basically never end. In all but four states, their legislative bodies meet annually for various lengths of time. Then there's Montana, North Dakota, Texas, and Nevada, whose legislatures meet every other year. This presents some unique challenges. Our legislature begins ramping up for the session shortly after the election in November. The legislative chambers are taken out of mothballs. Temporary staff is hired. The session kicks off on the first Monday in January, lasts until the end of April. Then everything goes back into mothballs for another 2 years. It's cumbersome, but it's been this way since we became a state 136 years ago. Since the vast majority of staff and legislators live outside the Helena area, one of the biggest logistical challenges is finding temporary housing for everyone. For some, it's fairly easy. They rent the same house that they've rented for years. For the newbies, it's a little harder. But some enterprising residents of Helena have figured it out. Shortly after the election, they call the Legislative Services Division and let them know that they have a house, apartment, or room for rent. Once their house is rented out, they take the rent money and head south for a four-month vacation. It's a win-win. Legislators and staff have a place to live, and residents get to spend the winter in a warmer climate. Another challenge that comes with the biennial migration has to do with parking. The Capitol building acts as a hub surrounded by large state office buildings like the Department of Health, the Department of Revenue, the Department of Justice, and others. When the legislature is not in session, the Capitol parking lots are available to everyone. But when the legislature comes into session, the parking spaces are assigned to individual legislators. This, coupled with the increased need for parking for legislative staff and lobbyists, means that parking spots are at a premium. In April, Helena residents are as anxious to see legislators leave town as the legislators themselves are to return home. These are just a couple of the challenges faced by a citizen legislature that meets every other year. It can be frustrating, but it's the price we pay for a highly accountable legislative body that looks like you and me. Rather than a professional legislature where legislating is basically a full-time job, our legislature is made up of everyday Montanans, farmers and ranchers, teachers, business owners, college students, and tradesmen.
All right, and once the legislature is sworn in on Monday in Helena, Jeff Laslaffy will then be providing a daily legislative update for us to keep us posted on what's happening in Helena. So looking forward to that continuing coverage here with Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk. We've got the phone lines open and more right after this, 406-294-0970.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With some areas of light snow and flurry activity around the region today, accumulations of around an inch to up to 2 inches in some areas by this evening. High temperatures stay around 34 in Bozeman to around 20 in the Billings area. For tonight, more snow shower activity. Accumulations generally staying an inch or less. Mid-20s in Bozeman, mid-teens in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
This is Fox on Football. Week 16 of the NFL season brings a ton of quarterback changes, and none more notable than the Atlanta Falcons, who are benching veteran Kirk Cousins in favor of rookie Michael Penix Jr. Cousins has struggled recently, but the 36-year-old is accepting the decision made by head coach Raheem Morris.
You know, there's a standard that you know, I have for myself, and the team has for me, that unfortunately, I wasn't playing up to that standard consistently enough.
The New York Giants have announced that they will be going back to Drew Lock to be their starter, who missed last week's game with a heel injury. Meanwhile, the Tennessee Titans will start Mason Rudolph on Sunday, as second-year quarterback Will Levis will head to the bench. And the Cleveland Browns are going with Dorian Thompson-Robinson to start Sunday in place of Jameis Winston. For the latest NFL news, go to foxsports.com. For Fox on Football, Tony Genualdo, Fox News.
As we head into 2025, we ran the numbers. What were our top stories for 2024 based on your page views here in Montana? And I'll tell you what, the numbers are clear. Illegal immigration and the wide open southern border dominating our top 10 lists for our big stories in 2024. I've got the full list. Go to MontanaTalks.com. Plus, there was a massive drug bust at a United States Western Canada border crossing. That story and much more. Go to MontanaTalks.com. Are you?
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got the phone lines open for you, plus a lot to talk about here on this Freedom Friday. Coming up in about 3 hours. That's when they will have a vote in Congress for the Speaker of the House. President Trump apparently sent out a fresh statement here just a few minutes ago, fully backing and giving yet another boost to Speaker of the House Mike Johnson the morning of that big vote. Lots of calls for GOP unity, so that they don't basically get the mess that they got stuck with 2 years ago and then the infighting that dominated the last 2 years of the congressional session. And so new session, some new members, President Trump inbound in 18 days. Not that anybody's keeping count, right? Of course, we're keeping count. Can't come quick enough. But anyway, so, yeah, President Trump with a fresh boost to Speaker of the House Mike Johnson here the morning of the vote. The vote will start a little after 10 a.m. Montana time. And then once they select a Speaker of the House, that's when the new Congress will be sworn in. The new Congress featuring Troy Downing from the Eastern District, newly elected, and, of course, reelected Congressman Ryan Zinke from the Western District. All right, we got a big Montana news story here, a great news update. There's some very good news here on this Freedom Friday, especially when it comes to mining and mining jobs. I know people in the mining city of Butte, Montana are listening right now. I know we've got other, you know, great, you know, men and women who work for our mines across Montana who probably would agree with me. We need more mining in Montana, not less. Governor Greg Gianforte released a statement yesterday afternoon after the Montana Supreme Court upheld the Department of Natural Resources and Conservation permit for the Black Butte copper mine. So apparently, I went back and read the Montana Supreme Court digest. The Montana Supreme Court released another round of opinions yesterday, and hats off to Bowen Greenwood, the clerk of the Montana Supreme Court, the first Republican maybe ever, certainly in decades, to serve as the clerk. He was reelected as clerk of the Montana Supreme Court. But one great thing that he has done at the Montana Supreme Court is just adding a little more transparency there. So when they publish their opinions and when they release their opinions, you know, before you'd have to hear through the grapevine that they published something, and then you got to call somebody and pay money and have them, you know, fax it to you or whatever. I mean, it was just like, come on, have you guys not gotten in the digital area? Now they publish it, they send an email out, anybody can sign up for this. And so I signed up for it. So yeah, I went and saw this. I was like, wow, it's a rare occasion of the Montana Supreme Court actually making a good decision here, especially when so often they're in the back pocket of these radical environmental groups. Jonathan M. Berrien with the Montana Television Network had this headline: Montana Supreme Court rules in favor of Black Butte copper mine in lawsuit over water permits. So there's been two different lawsuits this year. There was one earlier this year where a lower court judge ruled against the mine. And thankfully, the Montana Supreme Court actually overturned that judge's decision and ruled on behalf of the Black Butte Copper Mine, which would be near White Sulphur Springs. So it's great news for Marr County, Montana, for jobs and more. And so, in fact, I mentioned how I compiled my top 10 stories for 2024. If I looked at the numbers just for our Montana Talks website alone and excluded all the other radio station websites, et cetera, and just looked at our MontanaTalks.com stories, my number one story last year was about the great news for White Sulphur Springs. And it deals with this story and a separate lawsuit that the Montana Supreme Court overturned. Well, now, yeah, the Montana Supreme Court now ruled in favor of the Black Butte Copper Mine in a separate lawsuit over water permits. Justice Jim Rice, writing the majority opinion, basically made the point that for 43 years, we've been doing it this way, and nobody's ever objected to it. And if you want to change the process, then go to the legislature and change the process. Wow. What a rare act of common sense out of the Montana Supreme Court. But anyway, Governor Greg Gianforte, how this first got on my radar yesterday afternoon is I saw that he released a statement saying, quote, "Today's ruling from the Montana Supreme Court is a significant win for our economy, our state's mining industry, and workers at the Black Butte Copper Mine. This decision ends years of litigation that held back investment and the creation of good-paying jobs for Montanans. I'm grateful to Director Castor of the DNRC as well as the Department of Environmental Quality for their work to resolve these issues. By reinforcing Montana's position as a leader in critical mineral production, we are paving the way for future investment. Together, we will continue to foster an environment where businesses can thrive, create good-paying jobs, and bring the American dream into greater reach for all Montanans." So that was the statement from Governor Greg Gianforte. So good news on that front. Now, you probably have the same question I had, which is like, okay, so what now? When will the mine get up and running? Let's see. I think Jonathan and Varian had this in his story. I think it's towards the end. Tintina, that's the company that will oversee this copper mine. Tintina has completed the first phase of construction at the 450-acre mine site located in Marr County, about 17 miles north of White Sulphur Springs. The remaining work is expected to take about 2 years once it begins. So I wonder how much faster that mine would have been up and running if it didn't face these delays from these lower court liberal judges, if it didn't face delays from these environmental group lawsuits. I wonder how much sooner those jobs would be up and running. Like, so, for example, if you were a miner who got laid off from the Stillwater mine, tragically, before Christmas, well, here's another mine that just opened up in White Sulphur. I mean, imagine if we didn't have these delays from these environmental wackos and these lower court liberals. The jobs would be there. Anyway, all right, quick break. Phone lines are open for you, 294-0970.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Every so often, we seem to be on the cusp of some technological change that purports to change everything. Once upon a time, it was nuclear power, which was said to make electricity so cheaply that it wouldn't be worth the cost of installing customer meters. Superconductors, cold fusion. They once had a buzz, but nothing happened. There are billions of reasons why the blow-up of interest in AI, artificial intelligence computing, doesn't fit in that tradition. That's because of the dollars flowing into making it happen. And most of us know through our own experience that it's already happening. That's because customer support has been one of its first applications. Other immediate applications have been marketing and sales, software engineering, and research and development. The consulting firm McKinsey projects that the incorporation of AI into business operations could more than double the rate of productivity increase in the economy over the next few decades. Will that really happen? I'm Patrick Barkin.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
It's January 3rd, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. It's National Drinking Straw Day. On January 3, 1888, Marvin C. Stone patented the first paper drinking straw. It's believed the Sumerians used the first straws for drinking beer, and the oldest known drinking straw dates back to 3000 BC, discovered in a Sumerian tomb. Also on this date, the late George Steinbrenner bought the New York Yankees from CBS for a mere $12 million in 1973. The franchise is now valued in the billions of dollars. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. The Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin, becomes the first woman inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1987. If it's your birthday today, you share it with the man who penned The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings trilogy, British author J.R.R. Tolkien, born in 1892. I'm Tushar Saxena, and that's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
This is where Montana talks at, with Lane Nordland.
A strike on East and Gulf Coast ports seems likely. Shippers want to know if there will be a strike because there's less than a month until the International Longshoremen Association's contract with the U.S. Maritime Alliance is set to expire. It's reported that a major development in the prolonged negotiations occurred when President-elect Donald Trump voiced his support for ILA's stance against automation at ports following a meeting with the union. The situation points in the direction of another strike. One shipping giant is already urging its customers to pick up their laden containers and return their empty ones at the U.S. East and Gulf Coast ports before January 15th to mitigate potential disruptions at the terminals on account of the strike. The U.S. Meat Export Federation says ports and terminal operators are likely to stop accepting refrigerated cargo several days before the strike date, so shippers should make adjustments now. In other news, in addition to the Farm Bill extension through September 30th, the American Relief Act of 2025, recently passed by Congress, contains just under $10 billion in market relief payments for 20 cover crops. This economic assistance is intended to offset part of the economic loss producers are facing following a decline in crop prices and production costs remaining high. Commodities included in the relief payments will include wheat, soybeans, corn, sorghum, rice, barley, and others. I'm Lee Northland.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, we're taking your phone calls and more here pretty much for the rest of the morning. I know we're going to have open phones. It's going to be like an open lines Friday for the full 9 o'clock hour today. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, Don Kaye, the chairman of the Montana Republican Party. You know, he joins us once a month, takes your phone calls and more. So he's going to join us for the monthly update here coming up in the 8 o'clock hour of the show. Same offer. Opportunity has been offered up to the Democrats as well, but they prefer to stay in hiding. That's all right. Anyway, let's see. In the 6 o'clock hour of the show, I was talking about this Las Vegas Cybertruck explosion and how there's just a lot of things about this story that aren't adding up. But look, either way, whether it's the Las Vegas Cybertruck explosion, can you imagine, like, you fly to Las Vegas, you don't pack a carry-on, or all you pack is a carry-on because it's a quick 2-3 day trip for a weekend or whatever, go see a show. So you can't bring a gun with you to protect yourself. Because, man, here you are standing out in front of a hotel, and then, boom, what do you do? Right? This incident aside, what do you do? Same thing, you know, down in New Orleans and the terrorist attack there. What do you do? I mean, it just reinforces the idea that we have got blinking lights everywhere, like the FBI director testified a few months ago. There are threats everywhere. Our border's been wide open. And then you got crazies here on American soil on top of it. What do? You've got to have the ability to defend yourselves. I caught up with Gary Marbit with the Montana Shooting Sports Association. I'll just play like a quick 3 or 4 minute chunk of our conversation. But what do we need to do here in Montana to strengthen our gun rights? Especially, you know, the Montana Shooting Sports Association, they've been so successful. They've passed 71 different laws to strengthen and protect gun rights and to support, you know, the gun industry and more. So what is there left to do? I'll tell you what, Gary Marbit is on top of it. Here's what he has coming up in the hopper.
Well, we have picked a lot of low-hanging fruit, but we continue to address problems that tend to crop up in Montana, which leads me to run through our legislative agenda for the upcoming session. We will have four measures before the legislature this session. The first one is a joint resolution of the legislature requesting that the Board of Regents direct the university system to begin incorporating shooting sports into the various campuses. So we know that Montana produces a number of nationally and internationally champion shooters disproportionate to our population. But when those young shooters want to go to college, they have to leave Montana to go to states that have collegiate shooting programs and scholarships for those programs. So we'd like to keep those kids in Montana. So we are urging the university system to get up to speed with shooting sports. And there are lots of different shooting sports. There's trap and skeet and small bore and bullseye and practical pistol and long-range precision rifle. And there's a big menu of shooting sports to pick from, including the Olympic shooting sports. But we'd like to get our university systems up to speed on those. The next measure we will be pressing is a non-discrimination measure. We're seeing some problems with discrimination about firearms cropping up in insurance and in finance in Montana. And the Montana Constitution prohibits discrimination based on political views and stuff like that. And so we want to be clear that people who are exercising the right to keep and bear arms don't get snared up in any discrimination by the insurance industry or the finance industry. So we're seeing, for example, small businesses being told by their insurance carrier that if you don't ban guns at your business, we're going to drop your insurance. Well, that is very discriminatory. So we want to prevent that. Another measure has to do with the cost of self-defense. And what I have seen across Montana is now and then there are flaky prosecutions that pop up that should never be brought for somebody who was legitimately defending themselves, yet the prosecutor decides they can still punish the person by dragging them through the knothole of a prosecution, and the person, you know, has to spend tens of thousands of dollars on a defense, maybe lose their home and their job over a prosecution that should never have occurred. So this bill says that if a person is charged with a crime and they plead self-defense and they are not convicted, then their defense costs get paid. And we think that's only fair. The last measure has to do with disarmament in the pretrial phase of criminal procedures. If you are arrested for jaywalking and you have to go to court, it's very common, well, it's almost universal for prosecutors to hand the judge a list of restrictions they want the judge to impose with a court order, and that always includes no guns, no possession of any firearms. Well, the problem with that is it gets entered in the computers, and it goes into the federal system, and the feds make the determination that the person is a prohibited person and cannot possess firearms.
All right, so what would be the fix to that scenario, to that situation? We'll have just some final concluding remarks there from Gary Marbit on that front. And then we got a message on the Montana Talks app. We'll talk Trump and the speaker race and do it here with Gary Marbit, the president of the Montana Shooting Sports Association. So the one final bill that he was talking about of the four that he selected in this Montana legislative session preview was, okay, he was describing there's some flaky prosecutions that have been going on around the state, going after, you know, gun owners. And then they, you know, and then just because they filed charges against you, even though you're innocent until proven guilty, they've entered you into the federal system. And so now you lose your gun rights, even though you haven't been convicted. And so if you lose your gun rights, isn't that kind of like being declared guilty, even though you haven't been, you know, you're supposed to be innocent until proven guilty? So what's the fix on, pardon me, what's the fix on that front, and what type of costs do people end up incurring as a result of what he describes as flaky prosecutions?
And so then if the prosecution is dropped or the person is acquitted or whatever, it takes years and tens of thousands of dollars in lawyer's fees to get that federal disability removed from the person's record. So our bill will say that unless a person is accused of a violent felony crime or uses a weapon in a crime of violence, a judge may not prohibit their possession of firearms pending trial. So those are the four items that we will have up on our legislative agenda, and they all address problems in Montana that we'd like to either head off or cure.
All right, and then, of course, I thought several of those were very fascinating bills, especially when it comes to the topic of insurance and debanking, because not only do they want to target you if you're a gun business or a gun owner by taking away your banking opportunities, taking away your insurance opportunities. Remember, this whole woke ideology, this whole woke movement would then turn into ESG investing principles and all this garbage, right? The woke movement started by targeting the gun industry, by going after your guns and your gun rights and gun businesses. And then they said, wow, hey, why don't we just take this same approach to go after Christians, to go after Jews, to go after even people that don't have religious beliefs but just think that kids shouldn't have their body parts chopped off in the name of this radical transgender agenda. And so, to me, this idea of passing some sort of debanking legislation to protect Montanans, I think our Montana banks, you know, they're not the threat. It's not the smaller, you know, even more regional Montana-based banks and credit unions. It's the big, massive banks that suffer from this woke ideology. That's what we need to be protected from, is them saying, well, we don't like your Christian beliefs, so debanked. Or, we're not going to insure you. Or, we don't like that you have a gun business. We're going to debank you. We're going to take away your insurance opportunities. We don't like this. You spoke out against the transgender agenda. Debanked. No insurance for you. It's crazy, this world that we're living in, that we have to put these types of sideboards in place. But it's important that we talk about it here on Freedom Friday. Okay. The speaker vote will be here in about 2.5 hours. We'll tee up the conversation for you next.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
John Jackson flashed the bat signal. You know, it looks like the Batman signal flashing in the night sky, but instead of the yellow and black bat signal, it's the profile of Donald J. Trump. What are we now? 17 days that can't come soon enough when President Trump will be sworn back into office as President of the United States. In the 6 o'clock hour of the show, we were talking about this terrorist attack in New Orleans. And then this other crazy story out of Las Vegas with the cyber truck. And it's just like Wyoming Senator John Barrasso said yesterday when we shared this on this show, that we have got to get President Trump's national security team in place as soon as possible. On that front, before I get to the message from KC in Bozeman here, on that front, here is Florida Congressman Michael Waltz, who was selected to be Trump's national security advisor. Here's what he had to say. I think it was on a Fox and Friends interview, if I'm not mistaken.
This is why getting President Trump's cabinet in is so important. Mm-hmm. We need Governor Noem at DHS. We need Cash Patel at FBI. We need Pete Hegseth at DOD. This is an across-the-government look. Marco Rubio at State, and of course, Ratcliffe at CIA and Gabbard, Tulsi Gabbard at DNI. That has to be in place day one, guys, because this is a moment in transition of vulnerability, and President Trump is going to project, because he is a leader of strength, the narrative that we project on day one will be just important, and that's having our people in place.
That's right, and I did see Tim Sheehy, Senator-elect Tim Sheehy, who should be sworn in later today in the United States Senate. In fact, I got to check and see what time that happens. Caden, I don't know if you can search that real quick. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It'll happen later today. Less drama on the Senate side than potential drama on the House side of the Hill. But Tim Sheehy will be sworn into the Senate later today, and I saw a tweet from him just a few minutes ago where he said that exact same thing. This is exactly why we have got to get President Trump's national security team in place as soon as possible. That means that the U.S. senators need to hold confirmation hearings for these nominees. And last time Tim Sheehy joined us in studio, he talked about how, look, the Senate gets sworn in today, January 3rd, 17 days from now, January 20th. In fact, I think I will be there for the Trump inauguration. That's pretty exciting, a last-minute addition to our lineup. Anyway, yeah, I think my wife and I will be at President Trump's inauguration on January 20th. So, but anyway, even though President Trump isn't sworn in as president until January 20th, the Republican senators plan to hold confirmation hearings for his nominees even before then, so that the moment he's sworn in, boom, they start hitting the ground running, because there's a big mess to clean up in this country right now, as we're seeing right before our very own eyes here. Casey in Bozeman, he threw this question out a few minutes ago. What do you think about these two people that are trying to keep President Trump from becoming our president? Is that a joke or what? Yeah. So January 6th, the Democrats and the left-wing media loved January 6th, didn't they? It was the annual J6 celebration for the liberal media. They didn't care about hundreds of other riots all across America. January 6th, all they could talk about, right? Funny sidebar here. So January 6th, that's when the House of Representatives, if everything goes as planned today, that's when the House of Representatives will hold their vote to certify the presidential election. And as Casey alluded here, you've got some Democrats who are going to vote against certifying the presidential election. Weren't we told that if January 6th, if you vote against certifying the presidential election, you're an insurrectionist? I mean, some of the very same nut jobs that are going to be voting against certifying, the presidential election of 2024 were the same people that would have called you an insurrectionist for saying, hey, wait a minute, there were a lot of shenanigans in the 2020 election. Maybe we need to hold off here before we certify this thing and do the proper investigations first. Oh, you were an insurrectionist. But now these guys are like, we're going to vote. We're going to vote to not certify the president. Oh, so they're insurrectionists, but you're not. Yeah, I get it. I get it here. I get how that works. And watch how some in the liberal mob media will cheer them on. But yet they would have, castigated you as an insurrectionist for saying, wait a minute, there were a lot of shenanigans going on here right now. All right, so that's January 6th. But the funny sidebar is, so January 6th, what else is happening on January 6th? Isn't there a big football game on January 6th? Also on Monday, January 6th, that's when all of our statewide elected office holders are going to be sworn in. I saw a funny Facebook post. Attorney General Austin Knutson, after the Montana State Bobcats defeated, South Dakota State, right? Yeah. He said, we're going to the national championship. And then I saw one of his staff members said, sir, I think you have somewhere else you need to be that day. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. We got a swearing-in ceremony in Helena. Well, maybe there'll be a last-minute flight down to Frisco for the game. But, yeah, same thing with, we've got our Montana congressional delegation. Maybe they can find a last-minute flight out of Washington, D.C. To make it to Frisco for the national championship game. But they got somewhere they got to be. They got to be there to certify the presidential election results, because that's how close the numbers are. And so who knows what tricks the Democrats might be up to, because the Democrats sure have a way of staying united, don't they? And the Republicans sure have a way of staying divided. Which brings us to today, which brings us to the vote for Speaker of the House. The new members of Congress won't be sworn in until the Speaker of the House is chosen. I just saw a Fox News alert that President Donald J. Trump gave a fresh boost to Speaker of the House Mike Johnson this morning, on the morning of the vote, which is scheduled to take place shortly after 10 a.m. Montana time here. About 1 hour ago, here's a story. President-elect Trump gave Speaker Mike Johnson a major boost in his efforts to be reelected as House Speaker this week, when he announced his complete and total endorsement for the Republican leader. He said this on Truth Social Monday, but apparently he had some new remarks today. Anyway, he said this on True Social earlier in the week. The American people need immediate relief from all of the destructive policies of the last administration. Speaker Mike Johnson is a good, hardworking, religious man. He will do the right thing, and we will continue to win. Mike has my complete and total endorsement. He also had a warning for Republicans, saying this: we ran a flawless campaign, having spent far less with lots of money left over. They ran a very expensive sinking ship, embracing DOJ and FBI weaponization against their political opponent, me, but it didn't work. It was a disaster. Let's not blow this great opportunity which we have been given. Yeah, in other words, House Republicans, get your Adam Schiff together, stay united, and fight, fight, fight. Or is it going to be another 2 years of showboating and grandstanding, and then on the flip side, people that are too willing to compromise away everything? I mean, that's the problem, is you get these so-called moderates that will compromise away anything, but then you get some others that just want to grandstand and showboat and virtue signal and never get anything done. And with numbers this tight, they have got to stand tight together. Congressman Ryan Zinke, he was on, let's see, which program was he on? I've got a soundbite here from Fox News Radio. Let me find the script so I can give credit where credit is due here. All right, here we go. Oh, yeah, he was on Fox and Friends First. So Fox and Friends, I think, starts at 6 o'clock in the morning, Montana times. Fox and Friends First is even earlier. I know that because I'm up at, you know, sometimes listening in the 4 o'clock hour. Here as we're getting ready for the show. But yeah, he was on Fox and Friends First. The House is set to vote on Speaker today with an unclear future for current House Speaker Mike Johnson amid backlash from some in his own party, despite an endorsement from President-elect Donald Trump. Congressman Ryan Zinke joining Fox and Friends First, saying they need to keep Johnson for the sake of Trump, for the sake of the president-elect.
Most of the Congress, at least on the Republican side, you know, was endorsed by Trump, and they believe in the Trump agenda. So not having a speaker in place only loses time, and it actually works against the Trump agenda.
Yeah, but yet you've always got a handful of Republicans that are willing to, you know, basically thumb their nose, you know, thumb the nose at President Donald J. Trump with more virtue signaling. So anyway, we'll see how the vote goes here later this morning. If it's another one of those one round, two round, three round, four, and then they finally say, okay, let's just get this over with. Or if they just come out and show you a united front and then fight, 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 which is what the American people are demanding, if you ask me. Byron Donalds and Texas Congressman Ronnie Jackson, Florida Congressman Byron Donalds and Texas Congressman Ronnie Jackson weigh in on how they will vote next.
Fox News commentary.
Comedian Whitney Cummings scorched CNN on CNN, and it was pretty magical. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
I'm Benjamin Hall, Fox News senior correspondent and New York Times best-selling author, and I'm searching for heroes. Every Monday, I'll speak with a few silent but noteworthy heroes, everyday people who illuminate stories of compassion and are true embodiments of heroism. Make sure you subscribe to my podcast, Searching for Heroes with Benjamin Hall, wherever you download podcasts. And please leave a rating and a review.
The Anderson Cooper Andy Cohen New Year's Eve coverage on CNN is never short on controversy, but this year's broadcast was the best yet thanks to comedian Whitney Cummings. Anderson Cooper and Andy Cohen were stunned to hear Whitney Cummings not only dunk on the entire Democrat Party, but on CNN itself while on CNN. In her roast, she insinuated the Democrat Party couldn't hold a primary because they were too busy literally holding up Joe Biden. She also correctly noted how hard Kamala Harris was forced on the American people. But perhaps the best part was when she slammed CNN's shrinking audience and dismal ratings. No lies detected there. Whitney Cummings rang in the new year with both humor and truth. Well done, Whitney. Well done. Happy 2025. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at OutKick.com.
Fox News Audio presents the Fox Nation Investigates podcast. The Menendez Brothers, Monsters or Misunderstood?
We have evolved to understanding that this type of stuff can happen.
Judge Jeanine Pirro and a panel of experts break down the Menendez Brothers' new fight for freedom, and their defense attorney explains why he's optimistic he can clear their names.
Are these convicted killers monsters or just misunderstood?
Listen and follow starting January 7th at foxtruecrime.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With some areas of light snow and flurry activity around the region today, accumulations of around an inch to up to 2 inches in some areas by this evening. High temperatures stay around 34 in Bozeman to around 20 in the Billings area. For tonight, more snow shower activity. Accumulations generally staying an inch or less. Mid-20s in Bozeman, mid-teens in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
As we head into 2025, we ran the numbers. What were our top stories for 2024 based on your page views here in Montana? And I tell you what, the numbers are clear. Illegal immigration and the wide open southern border dominating our top 10 lists for our big stories in 2024. I've got the full list. Go to MontanaTalks.com. Plus, there was a massive drug bust at a United States Western.
Wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, yeah, just checking my tweets here, checking any replies, checking any messages that we got from listeners or others, x.com/Aaron Flint if you want to join me with a tweet or anything like that. Just got a message here, Freedom and Bonfires. What a name on X for Freedom Friday. Freedom and Bonfires. Somebody here from Montana, USA. Good morning. I tuned in at 7:30. And that was an excellent guest talking about bills that will protect gun rights and insurance rights, etc. Do you have a link to an article that lists everything he talked about? And so I messaged her back and said, not yet, but the full 9 o'clock hour podcast from Thursday has more audio. I may write something for it next week. But then I was also just thinking, if she's still listening right now, go to mtssa.org. That's the Montana Shooting Sports Association website. And Gary may have that information listed there with one of his latest updates. He puts out good updates. I'm a member, a life member myself of the Shooting Sports Association. And so, yeah, you get great updates. But also next Thursday, the 9th, I think it is, in Helena, they're having a legislative update. And so he's encouraging folks from across Montana to show up for that legislative update. It's a great opportunity for you to talk to your legislators there as well. All right. I think, who was it? Jason Chaffetz was filling in for Hannity last night. He said that there may be as many as 5 House Republicans who won't vote for Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson. He had Byron Donalds and Texas Congressman Ronnie Jackson on to get their take. Here is Texas Congressman Ronnie Jackson.
Well, I'm absolutely positively voting for Speaker Mike Johnson. He's done a good job under the circumstances. We need to get this. We need to move the ball right now. President Trump has stepped out and said, let's put Mike back in the speaker's role so we can move on with the Make America Great agenda and what the American people have told us that they want us to do. We have to do that now. There's no time to mess around. It's time to put on our game faces and get it done. And I think that I hope that these people you're talking about, I hope that if they do vote against him, it's just a protest vote. We can get past that. We can come together as a conference, because we will not win, Jason, unless we come together as a team. It's one team, one fight right now. We've got the House, we've got the Senate, and we've got the presidency coming up. We've got to take advantage of this. We may never get another chance.
Congressman Donalds.
Oh, I'm voting for Mike Johnson. I agree with Ronnie Jackson. Look, I think this thing's going to be wrapped up pretty quickly. So, you know, everybody's getting excited about tomorrow. I think this thing's going to get wrapped up, and then we move forward.
I hope you're right, because if you don't get the speaker in place, you can't certify the election. If you can't certify the election, you can't instill Donald Trump as the president on January 20th. So I want to see what congressmen stand up and what argument that they make that they're going to go against Trump, and they much rather delay the implementation of, you know, the new presidency. That would be fascinating to me. Congressman Comer, Chairman Comer.
All right, there you go. That was Jason Chaffetz there, former Congressman Jason Chaffetz, who was a congressman out of Utah, wrapping up that little part right there. Hey, we wrapped up 2024. I don't know if you guys heard it when we had Dr. Larson from Yellowstone Family Dental join us back in, it was in November. It was around Veterans Day. And they donated services to not just one veteran, but to two different veterans. And we made the call live over the air on this show. And it was so cool to be able to announce this gift for these Montana veterans on this show. But here's the deal. If you didn't get that gift, and even if you're not a veteran, you can still benefit from the services of Yellowstone Family Dental. So if you're somebody who's got a lot of problems with your teeth, I'm not just talking about one bad tooth, two bad teeth. I don't know. Well, go in, check them out. Maybe there's something else going on there that they might say, hey, actually. Anyway, what I'm going to tell you is go to Yellowstone Family Dental. Their website is MontanaDentalImplants.com. I've been to their offices. I've been to their facilities. The reason people travel from all across the U.S. to get their dental implants from Yellowstone Family Dental is because of the technology, the service, the customer service, the staff. So I'm telling you, go check them out. You can get a consultation, find out if it's something you want to do. You get a whole new set, upper teeth, lower teeth, MontanaDentalImplants.com.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Every so often, we seem to be on the cusp of some technological change that purports to change everything. Once upon a time, it was nuclear power, which was said to make electricity so cheaply that it wouldn't be worth the cost of installing customer meters. Superconductors, cold fusion. They once had a buzz, but nothing happened. There are billions of reasons why the blow-up of interest in AI, artificial intelligence computing, doesn't fit in that tradition. That's because of the dollars flowing into making it happen. And most of us know through our own experience that it's already happening. That's because customer support has been one of its first applications. Other immediate applications have been marketing and sales, software engineering, and research and development. The consulting firm McKinsey projects that the incorporation of AI into business operations could more than double the rate of productivity increase in the economy over the next few decades. Will that really happen? I'm Patrick Barkin.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.